Amen. Thank you, Brother Hector. All righty. Tonight, we have a treat for you. I'm going to ask Dr. Pitts if he'll make his way down here. The pastor has asked him to bring the message tonight. And he's a little witty, so I'm always nervous when he comes up here. Come on and preach for us, brother.
Well, you're asking for it, I'm telling you. All right, it's good to be in the Lord's house tonight, amen? All right, let's open our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. And we'll get to the scripture here in just a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 4 is where we'll start. I want to focus our attention this evening on the thought of Christian education for a little while. We're going to be starting school here real soon. The teachers report for orientation week next week. And then Thursday night next week will be open house. And then school will start on the following Monday, the 14th. And so on Sunday the 13th, we'll be having back to school Sunday. And I always try to find something that the kids can take to school with them, give it to them in junior church, squirt guns or pea shooters or slingshots or something that they can take and use for the glory of God, amen? But we'll have a good time. I always tell the bus workers, my parents try to raise my brothers and I to be mindful of others, not take advantage of the misfortunes of others, but we're going to have back to school Sunday anyway, amen? So, all right. Toward the end of the month, of course, we'll be having the college students return. We've got some college students right down front. Why don't you guys stand up? I know we just overlook these fellas, and we fail to recognize them. Turn around and let the folks see you, all right? So, amen. All right. The good-looking ones will be here on the 23rd, so. All right, amen. You know, for many years, Landmark Baptist Church has been heavily invested in the cause of Christian education in many, many ways. We, of course, know the Christian school ministry was founded a year after the pastor came on board in 1972. And the Christian school, of course, has trained literally thousands of students through these many years. Bible College Ministries, another investment that our church has had for many years. Brother Roll is an example of that, and several others, even our staff members that are graduates of our college. The college began in 79, and we have graduates all over the world serving the Lord as pastors and missionaries and Christian educators and just about every capacity of the ministry that you can imagine. And as members of our church, we sometimes get tunnel vision when it comes to what we see here on Sunday morning and on Sunday night and on Wednesday night. And we try to keep these ministries, the bus ministry and all these other things in front of you so that you'll be praying about it. Let's also not overlook the heavy investment that we have in our church with the Sunday school ministry. You realize that in the way our Sunday school program is set up, it's divided up, of course, with starting with the 3 and 4 year olds, right on up through the teen department, and the boys and the girls are separated during the Sunday school hour in separate Sunday school classes. I looked at the records a little bit the other day, and every Sunday morning during the Sunday school hour on this property, there are about almost 30 Sunday school classes taking place. Of course, pastor's got the adult class here, you stop and think about that. 30 Sunday school lessons being taught each week. You start figuring that up. That's over 1,500 lessons every year that are taught here, of course, by our folks. On top of that, we have the 11 o'clock hour, where while you folks are here in the church auditorium, we have 5 junior church programs in place and going on. And the Spanish department on top of all that. Also, I got some facts today from Brother Osawardi about the Christian school curriculum that we produce. Our Christian school curriculum at the present time is utilized, listen to these numbers, this is such a blessing, by over 600 Christian schools and 4,000 homeschool families. So it's a whole lot bigger deal than we seem to realize sometimes, isn't it? Teaching God's word is what it's all about. The greatest business in all the world is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the teaching of the Word of God. Reaching souls for Christ, baptizing them into the local church membership, and discipling them, training them to serve the Lord. Those are the three components of the Great Commission which the Lord delivered to the local church. And those are the reasons, those are what the purpose of the church is all about. That's why we exist, amen? As time permits, I want to share some thoughts with you about Christian education, and I want to direct those thoughts primarily to our children, to our parents who are raising children. And many of you, like me, our kids are already grown and out of the house and so forth, and we're dealing with grandchildren now, and we have 13 grandchildren, and I'm not supposed to say anything, but number 14 is on the way. We just found out the other day, amen? And so we have grandchildren as well, and it's such a blessing, and it's a joy, and it's a privilege, of course, to serve the Lord. And many of our folks are part of our Christian education outreach as Sunday school teachers, as bus workers, children's church workers, those that work in the Christian school ministry, in the Bible college ministry. And we also have multiple families in our church that teach their children at home in a Christian homeschool environment. And of course, this is where it all begins, with the children. As God blesses the Christian home with children, they're a gift from God. They're the reward of the womb, the scripture says. And, you know, for these many years as our Sunday school superintendent and Christian school administrator, I view this evening as an opportunity to convey to you some thoughts concerning the importance of Christian education. There are so many applications to that. As we think about the church ministries, as we think about the Sunday school, the schools, and so forth, but it all starts in the Christian home, doesn't it? Before I get into that, I just want to mention this. You folks don't know how close you came to putting up with me last Sunday night. I was scheduled to bring the message, and several people knew about it, but nobody told me. Amen? Oh, my goodness. Just moments before the service started, Mrs. Mashad came to me about something, and she mentioned, "You can do this when you're done preaching." And I said, "What?" Oh, my. It's a good thing she said something to me. Otherwise, I would have found out at the exact same moment you found out when Brother Perkins introduced me. So we kind of headed that off, and of course, Brother Osawardi brought a great message, as he always does. And bailed me out, bailed you out too, trust me. Now, don't get me wrong, we teach our preacher boys in the college to be instant, in season and out of season, amen? And I gave a lot of thought to that since Sunday night. And the Lord spoke to my heart about it. Right now it's fishing season, all right? I've been a little bit down lately. Last week, I spent an entire week on a lake getting some therapy for a real bad case of fishing fever that I had developed. And I thought to myself, what in the world would you have done? You know, if you got up here Sunday night, I'd have said, turn to John 21, where Peter said, "I go a-fishing." And I would have been fishing for something to say the rest of the evening, something appropriate. Well, like I heard Brother Scotty say many years ago, preach Jesus, because Jesus is always appropriate, amen? So my goal tonight is to inform you, hopefully, and not to bore you, and there's a good chance I might accomplish both of those goals before we're done, but let's talk about the importance of Christian education. Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, we see the beginning of the instruction that God gave to the people of Israel regarding the teaching and the training of their children and their grandchildren. We'll look at some verses in just a moment, and I'll remind you that the book of Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. You remember the nation of Israel, God delivered them from Egypt, and they journeyed through the wilderness right to the edge of the Jordan River. And Moses sent the 12 spies over to check out the land. You remember the story and how they came back. And Joshua and Caleb gave a good report. The other 10 gave an evil report. And the people believed the evil report. And God turned them all around because of their unbelief back into the wilderness for a generation, essentially for 40 years. All those adults, all those that were 20 years of age or older, passed away during that time period. And so now they're back getting ready to begin the conquest of the promised land, of the Canaan land that God had promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And so they're teaching now the law once again, so the people would know what was expected of them and how to conduct themselves, of course, once they were into the promised land and so forth. And so in this portion of scripture, we'll find that there are four foundational principles involved in what we'll call the biblical mandate for Christian education. And principle number one is that God gave parents the responsibility for training their children. We may not get past that one. That's the most important one right now that I want to talk about, but I'll give you the rest of them while we're at it. Number two is God gave the church the responsibility for training disciples. Number three is that parents may share the responsibility of child training with the church. Now, we think about that in our setting, of course, the obvious application would be as families with our children and so forth, our faithful church attendance, our having our kids and ourselves, amen, in Sunday school every Sunday, and perhaps the Christian school or the homeschool setting, whatever. Number four is that God does not want our children exposed to worldly, sinful education. We don't have time to deal with all that this evening, so we'll primarily focus on the first principle, that God gave parents the responsibility for training their children. Parents. Not the TV, not the internet, not all other junk out there. God gave parents the sole responsibility of training their children. That's very serious business. And children are going to emulate what and who they are exposed to. And I got a text from one of my daughters about 3 weeks ago. My daughter Becky, she's not here tonight, but she just finished up her nursing training this last spring, and she's now employed as a nurse over at Lakeland Regional. And she'd only been at work there for just a few days, I think, when she sent me this text. And here's what she said. She said, "Dad, a nurse at work asked me last night if I was a Mormon." I don't know how that came about, but I asked her why, as Becky says, I asked her why she thought that, and she said, "Well, there's just something different about you, and I don't participate, you know, you don't participate in some of their dirty talk, you don't cuss, and you don't talk about going out for drinks after work," so she figured that I was religious. I told her I'm a Christian, amen, and her last statement to me was, "I'm glad she saw a difference in me." Well, amen. We want the world to see a difference in all of us, don't we? And that difference, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as we think about the importance of Christian education and this first principle of that mandate, God gave parents the responsibility for training their children. God's plan for the family is revealed in many places, of course, in the scriptures. And generally speaking, of course, that involves a father and a mother and the children. And there are extended circumstances with folks due to divorce these days and the loss of a spouse and all those kind of things. But the father, of course, is to be the head of the home. The mother is to be the helpmeet and the heart of the home. And together, they are to be the authority for the children. And so to the father and mother, God gave some very clear commandments concerning the training of their children. And the elements for that training include such things as teaching our children to obey, teaching our children self-discipline, teaching our children a knowledge of God's Word. And those principles come from God's Word. And they're to be taught, including wisdom and character building and obedience to God and so forth. And so the Bible speaks of these areas. I want you to take note, if you will, with me here in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's begin there in the first verse. And we'll read a passage of scripture where God is giving these specific instructions to parents, and we'll also find out grandparents, regarding the teaching and training of the children. Notice what it says in verse 1. "Now therefore, hearken, O Israel." I always tell the college students, look at that word hearken. It's got the word hear in it. It's got the word ear in it. It means listen, doesn't it? All right. "Therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, to do them, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord God, thy God, hath destroyed them from among you. You see that word Baal there in that word. Baal, of course, was one of the chief false gods worshipped by the Canaanites. And Baal-peor was a form of Baal worship practiced by the Moabites. You can read about that in the book of Numbers in chapter 25. He goes on to say, but ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Then notice this next verse. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. And then catch this. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. God impressed upon Israel through this message that he wanted his people to be thoroughly familiar with his word. He commanded them to learn it. He required them to learn all of it, leaving nothing out from their study. Then he commanded them to teach those things to their children and to their grandchildren. Now you notice that God was giving the children of Israel a commandment that made mastery of the word of God generational. They were to teach it to their children and to their grandchildren. So the responsibility went two generations deep. So there was a safety net there. If one generation failed and neglected to do that which God told them to do, then hopefully the other generation would pick up the slack and train the children. In this way, the negligence of one generation would not cause the knowledge and the love of God's word, not to be heard by the next generation. Someone would always be committed to teaching future generations the word of God. It's clear from this passage that God wanted his people to learn his word. God wants his children to learn his word. Now, I know we're talking about Old Testament Israel, but I don't think God's opinion has changed on that matter. God still wants his people to learn his word. God wants us to live by his word. We are to live our lives in accordance with the biblical principles that we find in God's word. And so that tells us how to make right decisions. That tells us how to live for the Lord. That tells us how to raise our children for the nurture and admonition of the Lord and for the glory of God. And so he was telling these Israelites, do this and you will succeed in Canaan land. And don't do it and you'll suffer like your forefathers did. Even the people around them who did not know God would recognize their wisdom. It's also clear from this passage that God wanted his people to love his word. He wanted them to make it their life goal to know and to love God's word. As I said a moment ago, God has not changed his mind concerning his people and their relationship to his word. He still wants us to know and to love his word. Our children will learn, parents, listen up, our children will learn to love the word of God only to the degree that we are committed to making that happen. I want to talk to you a little bit here about three keys to successful child training. That's what I'm going to call it. Three keys to successful child training. The first key is teaching our children to know and to love God's word. That's what we've been talking about. Now turn over to chapter 6. This is also a parallel passage to what we read back in chapter 4. In the first 9 verses of chapter 6, I'm not going to read all the verses, Let's pick it up in verse number 4, where God says to Israel, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." All right, they were fixing to go into a place where there were zillions of so-called gods that were worshipped. And we know, of course, that Israel had a real tough time with that in future generations. And the story of the nation of Israel throughout the Old Testament was like a cycle of events where a good king would come along and clean all that mess out and get things right. Then another one would come along and bring it right back. And God brought judgment, of course, every time they turned away from him to idols. Verse number 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Now notice verse 7. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." That's pretty much all the time, isn't it? This portion of Scripture is often referred to as the Great Commandment. And it taught the people of Israel that their greatest duty to God was twofold. First of all, to love God, and secondly, to teach their children to love God. And so this Great Commandment expressly taught the people of God to teach the Bible in 5 ways to their children, right there in those verses we just read. First of all, he said to do it on purpose. Thou shalt teach them. Thou shalt talk of them, bind them, write them. I didn't read all the scriptures. Secondly, they were to do that faithfully. There's a strong word there, the word diligently. That doesn't mean just when, you know, every now and then or when you think of it. That means diligently. That means faithfully. Then he says to do it when thou sittest in thine house. They didn't have all the distractions we have today. They didn't have a TV in every room in the house, you know, and all that junk. So in other words, they were to do it by plan, with a plan. They were to do it incidentally. The Bible says here, when thou walkest by the way. Now, parents and grandparents, I call those times teachable moments. Amen? There's so many times where you're with your children and with others, and you see something, you hear something happens, a kid says something, and you can use that, of course, to teach them God's word. And then last of all, he says, do it when thou liest down and when thou risest up. That means to do it daily. So they were to teach the word of God to their children in these 5 different ways, on purpose, faithfully, with a plan, incidentally, and daily. And what was to be the subject of that intensive Bible training? Verse number 6 again says, these words which I command thee this day. And so what was the topic of the day? It was this subject. It was this great commandment to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. God's mandate for child training, of course, was that parents must teach their children to love God. Parents are to teach their children about God, about his goodness, about his love for them. And children will depend upon that, will respond to that message as they see the love of God at work in the lives of their parents. You know, I've dealt with a zillion kids and parents and families over the years, and invested the last 43 years of my life into the ministry of Christian education. And I've dealt with so many folks that have been such a blessing to me. And some of them, you know, like some folks are a blessing when they come in and some are a blessing when they leave, you know, you got that crowd too. But I've seen parents that would just drop their kids off at the Christian school Monday through Friday and turn over the training of their children to the Christian school. It doesn't work that way. The Christian school only supplements what's already supposed to be being taught in the Christian home. And our children need everything that we can give them in the Christian home and in the church and in the Christian school or the homeschool environment, whichever it might be. And so the children will respond to those messages as they see the love of God at work in the lives of their parents. The second area, of course, is that of teaching our children to know and love God. And then number 3 is teaching our children wisdom and character. You know, the first 4 chapters of Proverbs place the responsibility for character development. You listening, Mom and Dad? squarely in your lap, squarely on the shoulders of the parents. This mandate in the area, in this area is very clear. Parents are required to train their children in wisdom and character. I did not have the privilege of growing up in a spiritual home. And praise God, my dad did not forbid us from going to church. My mom was faithful in church and taught Sunday school for many, many years, but Dad wanted no part of that. And, you know, so I remember as a young teenager, perhaps, going to a buddy's house, and his mother had been very instrumental in my mom getting saved. She literally loved my mom to the Lord. And we were close friends, of course, with them. And their oldest son was my best friend growing up. He's in heaven now. He got cancer, and the Lord took him home a few years ago. But I remember sitting at the table with the family, and the food's there, and you know the steam's rising off the food. Everybody's ready to dig in. And Dad got out his Bible, and I think he had a one of the little devotionals, the Dahan, one of those back in the day. And he brought a devotion and read the Word of God and had prayer. And I wasn't used to that sort of thing, you know, and that really opened my eyes, of course. And, you know, the book of Proverbs, of course, gives us some thoughts here regarding that. And we'll share some things here as we finish up here in the next few minutes. And parents are required to train their children in wisdom and character. They tell us this, you want to tune in on this too, Mom and Dad. They say that the moral strength of an adult is directly connected to the character training they receive as a child. Now, I believe that. You know, some people doubt that things like wisdom and character and moral strength and things like that can be taught. They're convinced that kind of thing, well, you either get that or you don't. You have to kind of work that out on your own. Well, the Bible teaches that Scripture itself builds character. Amen? And in fact, wisdom, by definition, is the application of biblical principles, of scriptural truth, to everyday life situations. And so character can be formed in any of us, and certainly in our children, through saturation of Scripture. Perhaps the simplest formula given in Scripture for teaching children how to live for the Lord is found in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 26. Let me just share it with you here. Solomon was writing to his son, and he said these words, "My son, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Solomon's instruction to his son involved two things. First of all, love me. That includes trust me. That includes be honest with me, and vice versa. And then secondly, as a parent, Solomon was saying to his son, watch what I do and how I do it. Now, that's a good thing if he's doing the right thing. I tell the bus workers every now and then, many years ago, I've worked about all the bus routes we've got around here, over the years, I was right down here on 30th Street one Saturday morning, and I had a good bus route going on. I was looking for more kids to ride my bus, and it was summertime, and it was hot, and I'm knocking doors. I came to a house, and the there was no air conditioning. The windows were open, the screen door on the front door, and as I walked up, I could see the TV on. It was Saturday morning. I don't know what's wrong with these people. They weren't watching cartoons. They were watching wrestling. But I knocked on the door, and Dad was sitting right there beside the door. And he had a little kid, just a very young child, too young to come on the bus. And so Dad began talking to me, and I began to talk to him. It was 9:30 in the morning, maybe. He had a Budweiser in this hand and a cigarette in this hand. And I'm talking to him. And that little fella was watching his dad, and right next to the door was a little end table next to the couch, and there was an ashtray, and there were I don't know how many million cigarette butts in it, and while Dad was talking to me, that little fella walked over there and picked up one of those nasty things and started to put it to his mouth before I drew that attention to the dad to take care of that. Kids are going to follow what they see. kids are going to emulate that which is acted out before them. And so the Bible tells us that children will become what they're taught. You remember the most familiar verse that comes to mind, Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Our kids grow up, yeah, just like we did. You know, we make mistakes. They make mistakes. Amen. And we live and we learn. But if we teach them how to live, and if we do it in love, our children will become wise, and they will learn to live the way God wants them to live. And when they mess up, the Holy Spirit will bring them back and convince them, of course, to do the right thing, hopefully. And we must commit ourselves to learning God's Word and loving it if we're going to see our children walk in wisdom. So to review, these three elements comprise the biblical mandate for child training. Teach our children to know and love God's Word. Teach our children to know and love the Lord. And teach our children wisdom and character. Now, in all three cases, what's the common denominator? The key is Scripture, isn't it? That's the foundation of Christian education. Education that's truly Christian is based upon and saturated with the Word of God. And so it's the Bible at work in our lives and in the lives of our children that changes us. I tell our students every now and then, you know, there's many symbols about the Bible. One of them is that the Bible's like a mirror, you know. And every day, ladies, I know you're so lovely all the time, but you check out that mirror first thing in the morning. And I've been trying to convince these guys to do that, but it hasn't worked so far. But, you know, and we look at that thing, we comb our hair if we have any left, and we shave off the whiskers and brush our teeth, try to make ourselves presentable before we go out in public and so forth. And when we look in that mirror, we see things that need correction, don't we? And we do what we can with what we've got to work with, too. Well, the same thing's true when we reflect in the mirror of God's Word. And the Scripture speaks to us and tells us about, what about this area of your life? What about this thing here? And what about this that, you know, is a reproach to the Lord that ought not to be part of a Christian's life and so forth? And so as we reflect in the mirror of God's Word each day, God begins to speak to us about things that need to change. And that's how we grow in the Lord. Amen. Guy that just got saved last week, you know, he doesn't know everything you people have been saved forever know, you know. But you can see them if they stay in church and if they get into the Word of God, you see, of course, the change that takes place. It's amazing with some folks, it's almost seemingly immediate. And some folks, they have to work on some things for a while. Last June the 16th, I celebrated my 50th birthday in the Lord. I celebrate my birthdays 2 days in a row. I got saved the day before my 16th birthday. Don't do the math. But I've been working on that for 50 years. Just ask my wife.